Welcome to MPT Podcast. This is Pastor Tim Wilbanks. We pray that this Word of God will bless your life and ministry and increase God's blessing upon you.
How many is thankful for the church that we have and the leadership that God has blessed us with to lead us into the realm of the dimension that we're in right now? And so I was sitting up here Sunday, and Brother Wilbanks was preaching. God began to deal with me about something. And I even went, I think it was Sunday night, to Brother Will. I said, "Lord willing, I believe I do have a word." I said, "Lord willing, it's what I'm going to preach next time God gives me the opportunity." Monday, Brother Wilbanks called me and said, "Hey, I'd like for you to preach Wednesday night." So I was like, "Okay, God." I truly feel that where we are, God gave me a word for where we are right now as a church and to some people as individuals. So right now, if you would, turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Chapter 2, verses 11. Says, "So and it came to pass to Jerusalem, and when there 3 days and arose in the night, and I some few men with me, neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And when it went out by night and by the gate in the valley, and even thereof the dragon well, and during that port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed by fire. Then I went out to the gates of the fountain of the king's pool, and there is no place for a beast that would under me pass. Then I went up to the in the night by the brook, and viewed the walls, and turned back, and entered by the gates in the valley, and so returned. And the ruler knew not whither I went, or what I had did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priest, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest did the work. Then I said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth at waste, and the gates thereof been burned with fire. Come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we be not more a reproach. Be no more a reproach." Will you pray with me? Dear God, I thank you for this opportunity, God, and that you will move in this place. And I ask you, Lord, that you will allow me to speak with your wisdom and with your authority. God, that I can help deliver the word that you have given to me unto these people, that the same way that you give it to me. And God, I ask you to bless our heart and our ears to hear your voice tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you don't sit down on me. But tonight, in the book of Nehemiah, we picked up the part of the story where Nehemiah was once a servant, but now he is given the instructions by the king after he has heard all the desolation of his city and all that he had inherited as a people. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed and laid waste. So now we pick up the story where Nehemiah is ready to go into the city, and he does reconnaissance and sees what all has been done. Where Jerusalem was once a growing and flourishing and prospering city and nation, now he finds that it lies waste. But because Nehemiah had such a heart of a servant, even for the king that he was under, he was a cupbearer, and he was willing to lay his life down to take of the cup before the king, and he was giving to the king every day of his life. But now he had found favor with the king, and he leaves the city that he is in now and going back to Jerusalem. But he goes back with a purpose and the intent, with a word from the king. There's a lot of times in our life that we begin our journey with great expectation and high intentions that we're going to rebuild something that had been laid waste in our life. But sometimes we try to do it by our own plans and our own ambition. And sometimes we say, you know what, I'm ready to make this change in my life. And so we get up every single day and we begin to start this journey. But with time, we begin to taper off. But Nehemiah had something with him that gave him a courage, that he encouraged himself daily, that he remembered and would recall on it from time to time to remind himself that what he had was more valuable than silver or gold. What he had would ring true throughout the test of time until his goal was accomplished. I know the SLC has been something that has been great in my life, and I know some others that it has been very productive in their life and very influential. And by beginning this journey, everything started out with high hopes and then began maybe tapering down. But I'm telling you, when Brother Wilbanks started this plan, it wasn't just something to be have church involvement, but he had something from God that we are about to build something greater than what it was before. We're about to rebuild some things that have seemed may have been torn down in our lives. And so we began the journey through SLCs, and now we find our place where we began to rebuild the walls. Come on. In the book of Nehemiah chapter 4, we find an encounter with the Samaritans that had once burnt down the walls in Jerusalem. It says in chapter 4 verse 1, but it came to pass that when the Sanballat heard that what had builded up the walls, and he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the armies of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice, or will they make end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heap of rubbish which was burned? And that's from that verse right there is where I want to take the title to my message tonight. Out of the rubbish. Out of the rubbish is where Nehemiah began his journey in rebuilding in what once was a great city. And Nehemiah, he gets to this place with a word from the king that he has the authority and the name applied to Nehemiah that no matter what it takes, you do it. No matter what the cost, you do it, and you can do it in my name. He had a letter from the king that, Brother Jaden, no matter what you need to do in your life, I give you the power. I give you the authority. I give you dominion. I give you my name. With everywhere, wherever you go and whatever you encounter, if they try to stop you, tell them you coming in my name. On this journey, Nehemiah would encounter other governors, and they would try to stop him and say, you're nothing but a servant. You're nothing but a cupbearer. But he said, no, you don't understand. I come in the name of the king. So Nehemiah had something with him that the Samaritans didn't know anything about. He had something with him that rest of the rulers had no idea. He had the name applied to his life. He had authority with him. And wherever he went, he had dominion and power. So many times we begin our journeys and we begin to make shifts and maneuvers in our life to better our life, our spiritual life, our financial life, our family life, our home life. We try to remodel and we try to buy new vehicles and we try to make different shifts and changes. We try to redo our look or our wardrobe or our appearance. And so we begin taking small steps at a time. And as we begin to make the shift and the change, people are going to be there to discourage you. People are going to be there to mock you and say, what are you? Are you trying to fortify yourself? Are you trying to rebuild it? Are you trying to resurrect these feeble and rubbish and stones? What are you trying to revive? But yet we see Nehemiah never even address the Samaritans. He turned to his people and addressed his people and encouraged them with what he had to remind them. He had the name. He had the power. He had the authority. But the thing is, when you begin to look at our individual lives and we begin our journeys of changing, And we have all great ambitions, and we find ourselves from time to time, even in our walk with God, that everything that we are trying to build and everything we're trying to change begins to crumble and fall apart. When Jerusalem began to be consumed, we read that Nehemiah did his inspection, and the walls had been or crumbled and destroyed by fire. And the thing about stones and fire, when I read this story a couple weeks ago, something come out to me in the story. Nehemiah looked at these stones and it was all rubbish. Everything was destroyed. There was nothing salvageable from what they can tell. There was no gates. There were no walls. Everything was destroyed. And something intrigued me that the stone walls and the gates were burned up by fire. And so I got on YouTube and Google, and I started just looking up explosive rocks. And there's a study that was done by just a guy that pursued science. I don't even know if he's a scientist, but he did an experiment. He took different kinds of stones, and he began to put heat to it in a furnace and see what would happen. He took concrete, he took brick, he took river stone, he took soapstone, he took all kinds of different stones, and he found that stones can actually explode once it gets to a certain heat, but he couldn't understand why it would do it with some stones and not others. Because there was a saying that in the Boy Scouts, you don't build fire, you don't put stones around the fire because they'll explode and it'll put your eye out. And so he tested the theory. And he found out that certain stones would actually explode, but not to the equivalence of putting your eye out or physical bodily harm. But what he had learned and discovered, that inside of these stones, it doesn't matter if it was concrete, if it was blocks, if it was river stones or whatever kind it was, that over time, there is something that got down deep inside in a capsule or in a pore. And it was trapped in there. Some moisture got trapped in there, and a piece of dirt got in there and stopped up the pore. And now the water will never be able to escape. But when heat is applied to the rock, it begins to steam and build up pressure at a certain temperature. And things begin to come apart and unloose in this rock and causes it to explode. It may not be a great explosion. It may just crack and fall apart and just be a pile of rubbish. And God began to deal with me about the fact of these stones and the rubbish. And I was like, God, what is this? What are you saying? He said, there's some things that's falling apart that I allowed to be burned up. There are some things in our life that I've allowed the fire to consume. I was like, God, why would you allow that on your people? He said, because there's some hidden things that I've allowed to endure the fire, because there was some hidden things that I wanted brought to the surface that it couldn't handle the pressure once the fire was applied to it. So I was just bringing it to the surface. We may have experienced some things in our life and we don't understand why we're going through it, but all God is trying to do is not meant to destroy you. It wasn't meant to tear you down. It wasn't meant to demolish you. It wasn't meant to make your life rubbish, but it was simply putting you through pressure. It was putting you through heat, through a test and through a trial, because there was something hidden that you couldn't get out. There was something down deep that you said, God, I need your help to get this out. So he sends the fire, and the pressure consumes us, and the fire burns us up, but we are not consumed. The Bible says the fire may come upon us, but it will not consume us. The three Hebrew boys were a testimony of what God can do in our life. The fire may rage against you and it can burn the things off that bind you, but it can also bring out some things that are hidden that we don't even know that's in our heart, because God said, we know not our heart, but God knows our heart. He knows our truest heart. He knows the depths. And sometimes what God has sent me to say is, even though things look in our life, it may feel like we've been through revival And God has spoke and God has moved and God began rebuilding some things and restoring some things. But and everything that you had planned to put back together and everything that you had tried to do and to start back up and to regain some ground that you once had that you have slipped. It's not your failure. God's still trying to push you through the cycle. He's trying to put you into some pressure to get some other things out. It's not a failure. It's not a failure. It's not a mistake. It's not a problem. God said, hey, all I'm trying to do is fix something that you don't even realize. In 2 Peter chapter 2, it says, wherefore, lay aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies and envies, and even in all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted the Lord and his gracious, to whom coming unto the living stone, disallow indeed of all men, but chosen by God and precious. You are also a living stone, or now built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer all spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Every one of us, the Bible says and declares that we are a lively stone. We are a lively stone. We are precious to Him. We were chosen by Him for this spiritual house. Over the past couple years, I've witnessed some great stones of our church, the cornerstones and founders and foundation stones in my life and leaders in my life and people that growing up I could lean on or grab a hold of and help pull myself up because they helped lay the foundation in the way to where we are today. And those stones are no longer with us. Those stones, memories can keep us. Memories can help us endure when we encounter pressures, and we've seen what the stones before us have encountered, that we're all lively stones. And we've seen the pressure that they can endure and still survive. And yet, now we find ourselves at a place that those stones are no longer with us. And yet, we are trying to help fill that role and to step up and to become those stones in this place. Because when Nehemiah began rebuilding the wall, he didn't go and just get new stones. He used what was already there. Even though it seemed like it was falling apart, even though it seemed like it exploded and it was just pieces and crumbled and rubbish, this is what the Word of God says, that we are lively stones. Because of the association through with Jesus Christ, the living stone, the new birth. Believers become lively stones themselves, and the Greek word translation from stones indicates that believers are not just rocks existing in their natural state, but they're stones a craftsman has carefully worked, shaped, and prepared and fitted into the structure for the concept of that building. In your life, we may encounter some things, Sister Tanya, that is chipping away and causing us. It feels like our life is just consumed by fire and we're exploding. But all it is the cornerstone which is set before us and which is our guideline that we are to intentionally try to mimic and to copy. He is already the living stone that we are to be like. And all he is doing is trying to cut away at some things because he is trying to reestablish us and put us back into a place where we are usable again. Just because your life is chaotic and topsy-turvy and turned upside down, that doesn't mean it's the end. That doesn't mean that's the end of it. God's just trying to say, I'm trying to reshape you, Brother Josh, because I may have to move you from this wall, from the east wall to the west wall, because I have a better place for you over there. You may not understand the transition. You may not understand the pressure. You may not understand why you had to endure it, but I'm telling you, I'm going to make something greater out of you because I got you created with a purpose for a perfect corner and concept. So don't get frustrated right now in the transition that we're in. Don't get consumed because everything's not working out the way we want it to go. Just because our prayers aren't being answered yet doesn't mean that we don't have the name. Because the walls aren't being built right now, it doesn't mean that we don't have the authority. Just because it's not coming to fruition overnight doesn't mean that you wasn't given the word from the king. Nehemiah had the word that no matter what it takes, you can do it in my name. No matter the cost, you can do it in my name. No matter what thing you encounter, you tell them that you come in my name. And God is trying to remind us, don't get consumed and focus on the trash. Don't get focused on the rubbish. Don't get focused on what is laying desolate all around us. Don't worry about the destruction. Don't worry about your finances. Don't worry about your children, because they're all in his hand. Don't worry about the bills, because it's all in his plan. The steps of a good man are ordered by. So we are not to focus on the rubbish, because God is creating stones out of it. Out of the rubbish, God is creating miracles. Out of the rubbish, he raised up prophets. Out of the rubbish, he raised up evangelists. Out of the rubbish, he's going to raise up pastors. Out of the rubbish, he's going to raise up evangelists. Out of the rubbish, he's going to raise up missionaries. Out of the rubbish, he's going to raise up youth pastors. Out of the rubbish, he's going to raise up cornerstones that a church can lead against. Out of the rubbish, he's going to create miracles and gateways. He's going to create pillars that gateways are going to be mounted on. But what Nehemiah focused on the most wasn't just the walls. He encountered every gate. Because in his letter that he was given from the king, with the authority, he gave him the permission to go into his sacred place. Yep. He was given the authority to go into a special place. In the study Bible, it refers to it that it possibly could mean the great forest of Lebanon. Because Nehemiah was given a letter that said, hey, whatever you need, I have a forest. It's got great trees in it. You can go to it. You have my permission. Because the thing that was special about this forest is it was up on the mountains of Lebanon. It was referred to as God's cedars. In Hebrew, they referred to it as the cedars of God. And in this place grew great and strong cedars. And Nehemiah was going through there, and he could pick out which ones he wanted. And he could say, I want that one. That one's not quite ready yet, but it's got potential. This one's strong. This one right here has encountered some storms. This one right here, you can see it's been here a long time. It's endured some drought. It's endured some heavy rain. It's endured some mudslides. It's even endured, if you look, it's endured some fire. This great cedar right here, man, there's something special about it. Look how strong the limbs are. It's held some weight up at one point in time. These heavy snows that it gets up on the mountaintops, it's encountered some weight in its lifetime. Oh, if each cedar could tell the story of their lifetime, we would be here a while to hear the testimony of all the things that the cedar have encountered. And so he could go in and he selected some cedar. And he began to, as they brought it down to the city to create the walls, they began to inspect it and to go through it. And he began to cut away some things and began to hew it and to shape it and to mold it into great pillars and to shape them and to cut them for a purpose. Because this is what God showed me Sunday. When he began to select the pillars for the gate, they had to be solid. They had to be strong. They had to be able to withstand some attacks. They had to be able to hold out some things that was trying to get in that didn't need to be in the city. These cedar had to be God's chosen cedar. They had to have strength to know their purpose. And even though they've endured some things, they were can be reused. And they were shaping. And you could tell, Brother Josh and Brother Wilmates, y'all been to Jerusalem, but I've seen in log cabins when they would make doors and gates, how they would take the hue and they would pull and they would make notches into it. And if they would cut it down and cut it in half and they would find a knot in the wood, they would actually hew it down to get the knot out of it, because in the wood, a knot is a weak spot. And so the master carpenter would have to cut it out, because there can't be no flaws. There can't be no vulnerabilities. They had to get rid of envy. We got to get rid of guile. We got to get rid of malice. Why? Because God's trying to make a gate out of me. Sister Wilbanks, I'm coming to a close. And God began to deal with me about the stones and the cedar. That even though everything in our life, we've been in revival, but the devil began to mock. The devil began to scorn. He began to tear down Nehemiah before they even got started on the wall real good yet. Because it said that even in verse 5, it goes on as Tobiah looked at him and says, even what you've already got built, if a fox was to jump on it, it would cause it to crumble and fall. So they didn't even accomplish very much. They just began their journey. And people began to mock them. This year, in this place, we began a journey in last September, we began our journey to shift and to transition to a different place. And we hadn't even got started good yet. And the devil begins to talk, and the devil begins to murmur, and the devil begins to backbite. The devil begins to try to discourage you before we even get good and started yet, Brother Josh. And began to discourage the people, but that's when we had to bless them and walk away. To keep on our journey. We have to stay focused on what we're doing. What are we trying to do? I'm trying to rebuild my life out of this rubbish. Why? Because I got a word. I got a name from the King that says it doesn't matter if I need to bring in new stones to Middleton. I'm going to move in a load of new stones. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you say, Samaritans. It doesn't matter what you think or how you talk. I've got a word and I've got the name that if I need to go and find some new stones to move into Middleton, we about to rebuild these walls. Because the word said in 1 Peter that I'm a lively stone that he has chosen that was precious. And I'm going to build a sanctuary out of this stone. God is about to build something in this place that we haven't experienced. We've just began the journey. We've just began the encounter. But God is about to raise us up and make something even greater out of us. Brother Jim, you're a stone that we need. Things may seem rough. Things might have seemed discouraged. Don't let things get you down. Don't let those voices begin to whisper in your ear to cause you to faint or to cause you to grow weary or to grow weak, because God has got greater things for you. All the things you taught me growing up, the times that I would have to grab onto your belt loop and to keep standing up because I wasn't quite strong enough yet, God said, you're a pillar. God's not done with you yet. God's going to look at all the things that you see that's falling apart in your life, and God's going to pick up out of the rubbish, and he's going to restore you to greater. He's going to restore you to more. He's going to give you greater. God's going to raise you up to the mantle or the anointing that you wanted all of your life. God, he's capable of that. Why? Because I got a word back 35 years ago, and things may look harsh now. I got a word 40 years ago. I haven't given up on it yet. Things may look hard, and I may not have the help that I used to, but God said he's going to make something greater out of you. Things may look hard, things may look tough, but it's in the rubbish is where God picks up the brokenness. He picks up the things that have been done, exploded and torn apart. And all it was, he's trying to say, there's something greater down there. And he begins to dig it out and pick it up, Sister Dicey, and just begins to reshape it. And he said, you know, you said, well, I couldn't use this. Look what I did. It may not fit right here, but look there. It goes great up here. And upon this pillar, and upon these stones right here, I'm going to build a gate. And upon this gate, I've picked some trees out that I want to use to be portals, to be gateways, to have influence on the flow of the gifts and the anointing. Because the important thing about a gate is it controls what comes in. It controls what goes out. It even controls the volume in which it flows. Because when a gate's wide open, it can handle all that you want. It's never ending. As long as there's something to flow out of it, it's free. But when they're saying, hey, I'm not so sure. We're gonna close it up just a little bit because we're going to wait and see what God has in store. And it knows how to be sensitive and slow things down and allow the gifts to operate at a slower pace. Because as much as I love Sister Wilbanks, getting up here and ripping and jumping and dancing and just firing on all that 12 cylinders and just shouting and screaming and snorting and dancing and spitting that y'all can't see, but it happens. I love it. But sometimes we got to know how to slow things down. Because God is trying to do something at a different pace than 98 miles an hour. Because things look rough, Sister Diane, we need some people that know how to regulate the gates to slow it down so we don't get overwhelmed. Because God's trying to make sure that you're not passed by. Because he come with a word for you. And so I need to slow things down so even though she might be hesitant to reach out, I'm not quite ready to give up and let the service pass by. And so he takes his time and said, hey, I'm still here. I'm still here. Brother Tyler, Sunday, God began dealing with me about it. He began to show me your life and the testimony that you have, because a lot of us know it. You've endured some fire. You've endured some challenges. You've endured some heavy weights. But God wants to make a gate out of you. And it may not be right now. You may still have some time that you need to be on the mountain, but God wants you to know. I felt impressed. I'll put it like I felt this way. When I was up there, God, you stood out and God said, there's a gate. I'm not saying that it's tomorrow. I'm not saying it's next week, but I'm saying God said one day he's going to hew a gate out of you and you're going to be a portal to help usher in the spirit and the anointing in the place. And God wants to use... Pulpit ministry isn't calling for everything. We got to have portals. We got to have cornerstones. We got to have foundation. We got to have walls. And if we don't have the walls, then the gates is just, they'll go around them. What can keep the adversary out if the wall is not linked together and the gates are not held up by the walls? Then what good is our gates? So we need to encourage each other. If you would, stand with me. God wants, this is me. It's what I feel God's wanting to do right now. As a body, you may have encountered or endured some destructions in your life and in the past couple weeks or the past month. You felt like the devil may have been taunting you or challenging you or trying to discourage you from your steady prayer life that you've established since first of the year or since September. Or he's trying to discourage you. Well, you missed your Bible reading. You've lost your streak, so it's even harder. As long as you're at work, it's hard to read. As long as you're busy, it's hard to pray. And so there's some things in your life. You're like, it just seems like it's getting even harder to pray. It's getting even harder to find time to read. I've got to stay up later if I want to do it. So it gets discouraging. And so everything that you've built, it feels like it may be crumbling or falling apart. What are the walls for but to strengthen each other? What are the stones for but for another one to be laid upon another and to strengthen each other? So right now, this is what I want us to do as a body. If we can all come down together and strengthen each other and say, hey, find a neighbor, find a brother that you don't normally pray with. Find a sister that you don't normally pray with. Find somebody right now and say, hey, you may have felt like you was going unnoticed. You may have felt like you was overlooked, but I'm here to tell you that you're important. You're favored. You was chosen, but you're a stone that God has personally picked for such a time as this, that I want to use you to help build your brother up. I want to use you to help stabilize your sister. I want to use you right now because you don't know it, but they're discouraged. You don't know it, but they're being attacked. You don't know it, but people are talking about them and trying to tear them down. So right now, our purpose, our ministry, our mission right now is to strengthen each other, because somebody might have been under attack this week. Somebody might have been discouraged. Somebody might have been just abused this week, and you don't understand where they are financially, and so they seem discouraged right now. But this is our calling and our purpose tonight, is to strengthen each other. Why? Because God is wanting to build gates out of us. Brother Harold, Sister Sheila, this ain't the end. This ain't the end. God is still turning some things around. God's still working. He's still hewing on some stones that you may not understand yet. It may look like it's you can't figure it out, and every time you put a plan together, it seems to fall apart. But I feel right now to tell you, God said, this isn't the end. I'm still trying to work some things out that you're uncertain about. And even when it seems to fall apart, all I'm trying to do is get rid of all the other distractions, because there's still something there that I'm going to make great out of it. God's still trying to make greater things out of you, Brother Marlon. He's gotten your attention, and some things may have fell apart in your life, but look where it's got you. Some things may have looked like, God, why would you allow this to happen? But look where it's got you. Look what God has shaped you into. Look what God has turned around. Brother Nathan, you may not understand why we're going through what we're going through, but God said, there's some things I'm trying to get out of your life. You may have had it hidden deep down that you didn't even know was there, but what he's trying to do is say, hey, all I'm doing is trying to get it out of you. If you won't let it go, I got to burn it out. I got to break some things up. That's why people fall out of our life. That's why people fall away from our life, because it may be what's keeping you from moving forward. So don't get discouraged, Sister Missy. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't allow it. Hold on to the word. God's given you words in times past. And even when you feel like that's not who you are anymore, remember, it was given to you by the King. It was given to you with his name on it. You have all the power to remind the adversary, I rebuke you. Get thee, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Get out of my life, because I know who I am. I know his name. So right now, all across the house, I'm telling you, I really feel like God is trying to show somebody right now, you've been bearing some weight that you don't understand why you're bearing it, but all it is God is trying to shape you and to strengthen you, because every time the wind blows, a tree is made stronger. Every time the wind falls, a tree is made stronger. And every time the weight is bearing down on you, Brother Drew, it may be God trying to say, I'm trying to make a portal out of you. I'm trying to make a gate out of you. I want somebody that knows how to open up and allow the gift to flow freely. I want somebody that knows how to open up the gate and allow the gifts to operate. Come on, all across the house right now, can we lift up our voices and our hands one more time and allow God to move in this place?
We pray today that this word has blessed you, ministered to the needs of your life. Until next time, God bless you.